Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. Those words from Jesus directed to disciples of all ages. Coming here this morning with no doubt a certain amount of anxiety brought about by the ongoing illness, the COVID virus, social restrictions that affect our day-to-day living, and extreme limits on the ability to gather in worship and prayer. This combined with civil unrest and racial strife that continues in many of our communities across our country, and even the seemingly lawlessness allowed to take place in certain cities. This on the 4th of July weekend, an opportunity where we give blessings and gratitude for our lives as Americans. So we gather on this Sunday, and it is my opportunity to thank all of you for being here this morning and those watching at home, that we are burdened. The truth is, every one of us has experienced these feelings, and even in relatively good and calm times, there will be feelings of weariness and burden in each of our lives. But maybe with the slower pace of the summer, when we have opportunities for quiet reflection, those words of Jesus may sink more deeply into our souls. Weariness comes and goes at all stages of our lives. Perhaps it increases as we get older. And discouragement can accompany weariness, and at times that discouragement can lead to despair. Burdens increase or decrease depending upon our health, our responsibilities, the decisions we make, unemployment, caring for a loved one who's ill or struggling, economic and financial worries, the loss of living and where we are to raise a family, the cost of tuition, sons and daughters and their future, perhaps those who may not be living their faith. All of the elements of life can and often are a bit of a burden. Young people are not exempt from them. As they look to their future, their vocations, college loans, loneliness, isolation. You might say the burdens never cease. And there are more which come from how we view our lives. That is to say, oftentimes we define ourselves as I am what I do, I am what others say about me, I am what I have. Jesus knew the human condition even though he was on this earth only 33 years, and he knew that most of us would have longer lifespans and that we were in it for the long haul. So those words, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest, they are words that remind us to meet Jesus in the sacraments, especially in the Eucharist, and never yield to the temptation that tries to convince you and me that we are all alone, that we're on our own, and that we're left to our own resources. Jesus is saying to us, especially today, I will show you the way. Our responsorial psalm for this morning was from the 145th Psalm. It speaks those wise words to us. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. The Lord lifts up all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. When we listen to those words and then reflect again on Jesus' words, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and humble of heart, what we find in those words are the importance of gentleness and humility. Virtues that Jesus thought were important for his followers, but unfortunately today they're often dismissed. They're confused with lacking a backbone or weakness or an unwillingness to stand up and fight for what is right and just. Though self-assertiveness is much more highly prized, while violence is promoted and even glorified. Humility is the grateful recognition of our goodness, but acknowledging that this goodness is a gift from God. And it is true courage, and so is gentleness. Now, both are countercultural. If we divine culture by its dominant value, then competition and not cooperation is the way to go. We often know very little about true humility, and I suspect that is why there's so much trouble and not enough peace in our homes and communities. Proud and arrogant people do not bring peace. The yoke Jesus speaks of, from the perspective of the Old Testament scholars tell us, was a yoke that was a symbol of the law, the Mosaic law, and had many precepts that were contained primarily in the first five books called the Pentateuch, or the Torah. They contained, in fact, over 600 precepts. And at the time of Jesus, the ordinary religious man or woman could not possibly remember all of those commandments, and many times they just gave up. They felt burdened. Jesus, however, speaks of the love of God and one's neighbor as the basis. And in fact, the yoke at the time of Christ was a harness for animals that was custom fitted to the animal itself. Made of wood, it had no give or take, and an ill-fitting one would quickly lead to chafing, irritation, infection, and in the heat of the Middle East, it would cripple the animal and very often kill it. And because so many were poor, the only source of income for the lower classes would be lost. In other words, Jesus uses this image that we all understand. The yoke he asks us to take is a reminder that Jesus knows us as individuals. He knows us as in our own particular situations, our strengths, our weaknesses, our temptations, and our blessings. I suppose it's similar to the parents of a large family. Though it's the same parents raised in the same home, often with the same schools, each son or daughter is unique. One is capable of something the other may not be. Jesus knows this about ourselves. And when he says, learn from me, he reminds us that we have a God who doesn't ask for the impossible, a God who doesn't ask us what he himself has not done before us on his life on earth. It's important for us here today, no matter our age, to remember that God always gives us the grace that we need as individuals. And we should never forget that we are beloved sons and daughters of God. That's our core identity. It transcends race and religion, economic class, gifts and abilities. You and I are beloved sons and daughters of God, our core identity. And we must hear this as truth, not only in our head, but in our heart, and hold on to us before, during, and after the burdens we carry. This will never change. In the days ahead, we should spend time with those words, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. As we continue in our Mass this morning, I have been struck by how many people today seem discouraged. Not that they're giving up hope, but they don't know where to turn. Good, faith-filled people who try to live their Catholic Christian faith, who work hard, who believe in justice and truth and equality, but they look around and they see what is happening and they are burdened greatly. There are others who, because of this, can't make a commitment. They find it difficult, even impossible. That line of FOMO, fear of missing out, that a commitment limits our options. This is not just for religious life or priesthood, but certainly for marriage. Because in all of those vocations, there's a radical choice to commit oneself to a life, to a calling from God. Humanly speaking, it can seem an impossibly difficult choice to make. How can I know how I will feel 5 years from now? How can I commit myself to a person for the rest of our lives? A marriage between a husband and wife, God willing, father and mother. But in this gospel, Jesus again reminds us to learn from him. And the history of the church is the story of men and women who persevered in spite of burdens and difficulty and upheaval and dissension. Today, we are asked to persevere in spite of weariness and trouble. And perhaps this is a day when we might turn to the Lord and ask for our Blessed Mother's intercession, and pray for grace and strength. The great Saint Vincent de Paul said, God's grace is necessary to begin and ever more necessary to persevere unto the end. For all of you here today and those watching at home on this 4th of July weekend, with burdens and responsibilities and weariness, turn to the Lord for his rich in mercy and compassion. For it is Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life.